Welcome back to another Writers Wednesday episode. I'm excited to get back to this after a few weeks off. I do have one announcement for all of you aspiring authors. The HCRW Writers Mini Online Conference is open for registration. We are going to look at building an author platform. So building and growing and sustaining an author platform that serves your readers well starts with baby steps. Join us for 3 1-hour training sessions followed by 1-hour hands-on workshops with the experts. Walk away with the skills to plot and write your magnet reader with Crystal Cottle, create images with Canva for your platform with me, and grow your email list with avid readers with Misty M. Beller. There are only 10 seats for the hands-on workshop, so be sure to claim your spot today. You can learn more and register at literaryscape.com/events. Let's get to this week's Writers Wednesday episode. I am excited to have author Robin Lee Hatcher with us today to give some advice to our aspiring authors. So I'd like to start out by asking, because this is marketing is an area that I think most authors are timid with, but what are your marketing strategies?
That's such a tough question, because I think like many people, even though I've written 91 books and been in publishing for a long time, I pretty much just throw things at the wall and hope something sticks when it comes to marketing. I am fairly active on social media, mostly X, formerly Twitter, and Facebook, a little bit on Instagram. It's not so much, when I say marketing for those, I don't think you really sell books much with social media. I think readers like to connect to you. So what you're doing is you're connecting with people who already read your books and want to follow you. And so you're just staying connected with those. I mostly listen to the wisdom of others and try things. So I've done a little bit of advertising with Amazon, haven't had huge success, have not tried Facebook ads yet, but probably should. I think the most important tool for writers is your email list, your newsletter list. It's just crucial, because Facebook could shut down tomorrow. X could go away. Instagram, I mean, just any of them and can go away. But you control your newsletter. And so that's really important to just start building your newsletter list. There's a great little book called Newsletter Ninja, which I think is real helpful for beginning to think about how to do newsletters. So I recommend that. And I also think that people need to just relax a little bit. And like I said, you listen to people, you try things and experiment, but just not let it stress you out. I have one friend that confessed that to following the numbers in Amazon ads, they were just obsessing about it. And I had to say, you know, it probably wouldn't hurt you to just get off the computer and quit looking, because it can just drive you nuts. It's sort of like watching where your book is all the time on the bestseller list, or where did you place in the last contest, or any of those things. If we get our focus off what's important, we're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree. I do like your advice on the email list. I hear that all the time, because you're right. Social media, we don't own any of that, so it could shut down at any time. But if you're on our email list, we can always connect with you. I also like that the connection through social media is really a relationship basis, right? Between you and your reader, you're building those relationships. They may not be real personal, but there's that connection there that they know you, you know, they're there back and forth. I like that. What are 3 things you know now about the writing industry that you wished you knew at the beginning of your writing career?
Okay. Well, the beginning of my career was 40 years ago, over 40 years ago. So things were very, very different. You would probably get some very different advice from somebody who's been publishing for maybe 15 years than you'd get from me. But at the very beginning for me, you know, there wasn't the internet. That's how long ago this was. There wasn't email. There were very few writers groups. Our Romance Writers of America started just about the same time that I began writing my first novel. And I joined them before my first book was published, but I think it was already sold when I joined. I didn't attend my first writers conference, major writers conference, until just before my seventh book was published. So I was doing it mostly alone and in the dark, and I had my writer's market and all the books that I could bring home from the library on craft and so forth. So, but when I sold to a small New York publishing house, mass market publishing house, and they didn't edit me at all. And I had no idea that I should exactly as I sent them in, except for typos were added because it was back in the typesetting days when literally they were typesetting. So yeah. I counted, I think there were 86 added typos in my first book and 91 or something in my second. I actually sat with the book and the manuscript and went through and counted.
Oh, wow.
I think it was my ninth book. I sold it to a different publisher and I got my entire manuscript back. And of course, this also was back in the days when everything was printed and the editor wrote on your manuscript with a blue pencil. And there was writing on every single page. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't write. Somebody's going to ask for their money back. You know, I'm terrible. And I just didn't have any idea. But once I really knew what good editing meant to a writer, I mean, I just would not want to be without it at all. So that would be the first thing in this day of quick and easy indie publishing. People don't have to even sell to a publisher that doesn't edit them. They can just publish their own book any old time they want. And I don't like that all my mistakes are in print. They're all in print. And there's a lot of them. I was learning to write while I was publishing those books. And so I would really encourage aspiring writers to not rush to publish as soon as they get one or two rejections. Don't do it. Take your time. Maybe there's a reason why they're being rejected. And it isn't just because the book doesn't fit their list, which is always a possibility. It can also be that you need to take some time to learn some different parts of the publishing process, of the writing process.
Yeah.
And so that would be my most important one. Don't rush to publish. I wish I'd sold to a larger publishing house than the one that I sold to. I don't think that quite applies today. Things are, there's conglomerations. So they're already real big, but they're little branches. Because there's more clout behind them, more weight. I do indie publishing, but I've done, 80 books traditionally published.
Oh, wow.
And so there's marketing dollars behind a traditional publisher that you can't do. There's so many little things that you don't maybe even know to ask or want. But speaking of asking and wanting, I think that would be one more thing that I didn't know at the beginning is don't be afraid to ask. The worst that can happen is they'll say no. And with one of my publishers, I knew a lot of writers who never got things and they thought that the publisher loved me more. No, it just turned out that I asked And because I asked, I got.
Yeah.
And they didn't ask, so they didn't get. And yeah. And so, yeah, the worst that can happen is they'll say, no, you know, we don't do that, or we won't do that. And maybe they do it for another author and not you. And that always takes me back to comparison is the thief of joy. So don't compare, because it'll just tear you down.
Yes. Yes, I agree. That's wonderful advice, even for today, I believe, because what you put out there is also, you want it to be, like you talked about, go through the editing process, because you want it to be of high quality, even if you are an indie author, because if it's not, you're going to turn a lot of readers away or develop a reputation for not having high quality work. So it's still great advice for today. I love it. What are your top three go-to resources when you're working on a novel?
That is hard. You know, it probably varies with every novel. I always have just a ton of research books. So that would be absolutely number one. I guess I could call it one, two, and three, and we'd be done. because that is at the very top, finding the research books that I want. I didn't think that I would ever research on a Kindle. I thought I always wanted print books so I could highlight and so forth. But then I discovered that when you highlight on the Kindle, then you can copy it on your computer on the Kindle app.
Yeah.
And you can move it into your writing apps. I use Scrivener. I'm a big lover of Scrivener. And so now what I used to fill 3-ring binders that had the 3-inch back. So it was huge with pages that I printed at the library and notes that I took and pictures and everything. They were just huge notebooks. Well, now my notebook, everything that's related to a book is in one Scrivener file for that book. So everything's there. So if I copy something from research that I want to remember that note, you know, it goes onto a document within Scrivener. And so I guess that would be my number two resource after research books would be Scrivener, because I just am a huge believer in that. It changed my life as a writer. It absolutely changed my life. Three, what would the third one be? I do love, although I don't use them very often, but I love the emotion thesauruses.
Yes.
I want to think of the different titles.
Well, the one is titled, I have it sitting here, The Emotion Thesaurus, but they have several.
Yeah. Different character things. I think I own all of them. Most of them in print, but also on digital. But I don't so much go to them as I'm writing if that's not the way I work. But sometimes I just sit down in the evening with them and thumb through and just read some of the things that are there and let it just sort of absorb to fill the well. So I guess those would be my three. Research books, Scrivener, and the Emotion Thesaurus.
I think of all the authors I've interviewed so far have mentioned the Emotion Thesaurus. So that's a very popular tool and resource.
Is, yes.
What is your top recommendation for aspiring authors?
Read, 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 and write, write, write. You learn how to write a novel by writing a novel. You fill the well. Don't be one of those writers who say, I don't have time to read. Just don't do it, because you need that. Now, there are some writers who need to read something totally different than the genre they're writing in. I don't happen to be one of those people, but I read very widely. So there's just never any telling what I'll be reading at any given time. And I read general market fiction as well as Christian fiction. And I just like all kinds of genre, except I don't read horror. I don't like thrillers. They give me nightmares. I can read suspense if it isn't. I separate them, suspense and thrillers, in my mind. And that may just be my designation, but thrillers give me nightmares. It's too real. You know, if you have somebody that's coming after a woman in a real situation that I can, I don't know, there's something about it. And so I read one book, I'm talking at least 30 years ago, because I can remember going to the mailbox in the house I was living in at the time. And the villain was a gynecologist. And you got into his head, the reader took you into his head. And I wrote the author afterwards and I said, you know, now I can't go to my gynecologist anymore. I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
What's he thinking? What's he going to do? And so I avoid those. If they give me nightmares, I don't do them. I have a very vivid imagination. So
yeah,
those I avoid. But I read very widely, and I think that's important. You need to see. I even read books that I end up hating that, you know, that it's got 57,000 loves on Goodreads. And I'm just like, I don't get it. But you know what? I needed to read it so that I didn't get it. And then think about, why didn't I get it? Why are other people loving it? And it's not. I did that just recently. And in talking to some friends, I realized it was written in an omniscient voice. And so I never felt connected. I never was close to anybody. And so I didn't really feel like I was rooting for anybody. Mm-hmm. But many, 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 many thousands are loving it. But anyway, read widely and read a lot. Because my reading time, my pleasure reading time is limited, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. That's how I get to read a lot. When I say write, try to write every day, especially early in your career. I do believe in having a day of rest. I think there's a reason for it, not just for the Sabbath, but because our bodies need it. But you know, if you write a page a day, you'll have a 365 page novel at the end of a year. Yeah. So just one page a day, which in the old fashioned, double space Times New Roman 12 point, that's about 225 to 250 words a day. That's not much.
No, that's very doable. Yeah.
And so that's very doable. I do have a set writing routine. Scrivener helps tell me my goal of number of words I need to write every day to make the deadline that I've set. I do take Sunday off just to relax and do only what brings me pleasure after church. But the rest of the time, if you stay, you take 3 days off and you have to go back a chapter or two and try and figure out what was in my head and what did I actually get on paper.
Yeah.
So by writing every day, you stay in the story and you make your writing life easier.
I love that. That's wonderful, wonderful advice. So thank you so much, Robin, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.